Well, amen. That was wonderful, wasn't it? I saw where Fran was going to sing today, and I asked Taylor if she would sing with Mom and help her out. And you know, I had to take a gun and put it to Marky's head to get Marky to sing before she went to college. But I appreciate Taylor singing with her mother this morning. All right, turn in your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 7 for the message today. Luke chapter 7, I want to read a few verses to you, beginning in verse 36. Read you a little story and then pull some things out of that story for the message this morning. Luke chapter 7, we'll begin reading in verse 36. If you need a Bible, there should be one in the hymn rack in front of you. You may feel free to use that. Beginning, please, in verse 36. It says, "And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went down into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee, which had bidden him, saw her, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." Now, folks, I want you to notice that the Pharisee, Simon, that's his name. This is not Simon Peter. This is Simon the Pharisee. And this Pharisee, look at verse 39, said within himself. Now, he did not say it out loud. He merely thought. If Jesus knew what kind of woman this was, if he knew what she was, there's no way that he could be a prophet. This woman's a sinner. This woman's a sinner. And I'll explain that a little bit further in just a moment. But he thought it in his heart. Now get that. That's important. Then verse 40. "And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." I want us to stop reading right there. And I want you to notice that 40th verse. And I'm going to take the title of my sermon from what Jesus said to Simon. And the title of my sermon this morning is simply, Somewhat to Say. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to bless us. Our Father, how we thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, we're thankful that we have the eternal, inspired, infallible Word of the living God before us today. And Lord, I'm so thankful that I don't have to stand before this crowd of people and simply give my thoughts. But Lord, I can take your Word and I can share your thoughts with your people. And Lord, we're so thankful for the Holy Spirit that instructs and teaches and guides. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit of God will move and work in our midst this morning. And Lord, as we think for a little while about what you have to say to us, I pray that, Lord, we will allow the Holy Spirit to draw our hearts to you. And that, Lord, we will hear what you have to say to us. So, Father, I pray that every one of us here this morning will be submissive to the Spirit of God. And we'll allow the Word of God to reach into our hearts and draw us to your side. Father, meet the needs of our hearts today as only you can do, as you have somewhat to say to each one of us this morning. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you from the depths of our heart for what you do. In Jesus' name we pray and amen. I want you to focus with me this morning on the little phrase, the little statement that is made in verse 40. The Lord Jesus said to the Pharisee, whose name was Simon, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you." One of the things that I've noticed as we have been studying for the last several years now, the life of Christ on Wednesday nights, is that the Lord always had somewhat to say. In every situation, in every incident that happened, with every conversation that he had that is recorded, the Lord was never silent. He always had somewhat to say to those that he encountered. Now, here we are in this story in the house of a Pharisee. No doubt a very well-to-do man in a very well-to-do home. And they are getting ready to have supper together. And in the midst of preparing to eat, the festivities of the evening are interrupted by a woman that the Bible here simply says, Luke just tells us in verse 37 that she was a sinner. She was a sinner. We also learn in verse 39 that Simon said, if this man were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman she was. He would have known what she was. Now that tells us something. And when it says that she was a sinner, this is just a kind way. This is Luke very kindly telling us that this woman was a harlot. And I can just about imagine while they were all sitting in the house of Simon the Pharisee in lush surroundings, no doubt out in the suburbs where all the rich folks lived and surrounded by all of his uppity Pharisee friends, all of a sudden in the midst of this gathering of people, in walks this harlot. And I dare say that when she came through the door and came marching across the room to stand behind where the Lord Jesus was, you could have heard a pin drop in that room. My goodness, what was she doing? And it floored, no doubt floored, everyone that was there. I want you to picture them in your mind's eye. They're all standing and their mouths are agape and their jaws have dropped. And they watch as she kneels behind the Lord and is weeping and the tears are falling down upon his feet. And then she takes her hair and she wipes the dust off of his feet and then takes the alabaster box and pours the oil upon his feet and then wipes the oil off with the locks of her hair, weeping in with tears of joy and thankfulness for what the Lord had done in forgiving her of all of her sins. Man, what a picture that would have been. And while this is going on, as the Pharisees and the few disciples that were there, as the crowd is watching this woman, the Bible tells us in verse 39 that Simon said within himself. He did not utter these words out loud, but his wicked heart spoke. And the omniscient Savior knew the thoughts and intents of his heart. And to himself, this man said, if this Jesus was really a prophet, he would have known that this woman was a sinner. He would never have allowed her to touch him. And so Jesus looks over at Simon and responds to the evil thoughts that were in his mind. And Jesus said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. You know, it's amazing that all over the world, there are people still talking about Jesus. 2,000 years after the fact, and yet people are still talking about Jesus. Our papers this week have been filled with editorials and political cartoons blasting Christians for taking part in the election. They're basically saying, and their message is, that this Jesus fella has so skewed your mind and my mind that we should not even be allowed to be a part of the election process. Could America be saying that they are really fearful? Could the liberals really be saying that they are fearful that Jesus might still have somewhat to say? Oh, I want you to know, my friends, the Lord had something to say. But I also want you to know that the Lord still has somewhat to say. The Lord still wants to speak. And I want you to know that He is very soon, according to the Bible, going to start speaking again, and every eye shall behold Him, and every ear will hear what He has to say. They'll hear every word. And that started me to think that on every issue, on every problem that emerges, the Lord Jesus still has somewhat to say. That means, dear friend, He wants to speak to you this morning. Now, from this passage of Scripture, I want us to look at a few times when the Lord has somewhat to say. First of all, I want you to understand that the Lord has somewhat to say when everyone else is silent. The Lord has somewhat to say when everyone else is silent. Now again, I want you to think of the silence that would have fallen across that room when this gal walked in. One question comes to mind. How did old Simon know that she was a sinner? How did old Simon know that this gal was a harlot? I think you can fill in the blanks for that yourself, can't you? I'm telling you, folks, when she walked in, I can just see that those Pharisees. When she walked in the room, I can imagine that old Simon bowed his head and looked down the floor and his mind started to work. Oh, my goodness. What do we do now? I could just imagine that you would have thought somebody said, "Let us pray," because everybody stared down at the floor when she walked in. But as she came through, there was not a word that was spoken. Did they begin to look at one another, to look back and forth at one another in total dismay? Folks, I could just imagine the moment she walked through that door, not another word was spoken. I'm saying that the Lord has somewhat to say when everyone else is silent. And folks, it was when everyone else was silent in the Gospels, you'll find that the Lord had a lot to say. I'm thinking right now, I can imagine that Jesus often experienced this kind of situation. Imagine when He walked into the house of Jairus and He saw a mother and a father who could do nothing but put their face in their hands and weep in their own hands because their one and only daughter was dying at the young age of 12. But Jesus had somewhat to say to that girl, did He not? I mean, He came into the room and looked at her and said, "Maid, arise." Wasn't a long speech. It didn't take long for His words to fill the room. It was just a simple command. But He had somewhat to say to that girl, and boom, she got right up. I'm thinking about when the widow of Nain was coming through town. And I can imagine that there were not a whole lot of words that were being spoken when the widow of Nain was walking beside the coffin of her only son. She'd already lost her husband, and now her son is dead. And they are taking him to be buried. And as they're walking along, not a single word is being spoken. Her heart is broken. The tears are streaming down her flushed cheeks. So brokenhearted that she could not even speak. But the Lord walks up. And the Lord had somewhat to say unto her. No one else had anything to say. But the Savior walked up and with a tender heart looked at her and said, "Weep not." And He turned to the coffin and He said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And when no one else could, when no one else would, or when no one else even dared to say a thing, Jesus would always have somewhat to say. And that young man got up and was alive and well. Folks, is it not the same way today? I mean, when the doctor, when the counselor, when the therapist, when the psychiatrist, when Dr. Phil, when Dr. Oprah, stand speechless without an answer and unable to give a single word of hope and encouragement, when education and learning have no message to inspire or to console the heart, when even sympathy is not strong enough to break the silence that fills the room, praise be to God, the Lord has somewhat to say to thee. You see, that's an amazing thing to me. Nothing can rob Christ of His message. No matter how dark the valley or how silent the lonely road, the voice of the Lord can be heard speaking and giving us the way to go on. In life, you'll hear many a voices. I mean, you'll hear folks advising you and counseling you, but dear friend, listen, not a one of them will be as significant as the Lord's advice and counsel. I had a phone call recently from a preacher friend of mine in another state, and he said, "Pastor, I want to ask you your advice on something." And I said, "Okay, tell me what it is. What can I help you with?" And he started telling me the story. And he said, he kept saying, "Well, my wife said," and then he said, the chairman of my board said," and then he said, "Well, I talked to some friends the other day, and they said," and then he said, "A preacher friend in the area said," and he kept saying over and over what everybody else had told him to do and advised him to do, and I finally cut him off, and before he told me about how he had shared this with every person in the world that he knew, I finally cut him off, and I said, "Brother, wait a minute. You're telling me what everybody else has said. Have you taken this to the Lord? What does the Lord say about this?" You see, folks, that's many times our problem. We go and we get everybody else's advice and counsel when the one that knows exactly what we're to think, the one that knows exactly what we're to do, the one that knows exactly how we are to react, we don't talk to him about the matter. Take it to the Lord and leave it there. I have no problem with anyone asking advice and counsel from others. There's wisdom in getting counsel. But my friend, realize that man can give you sometimes the wrong advice. But one thing is for sure. There is one who will never give you the wrong counsel. And whatever it is, whatever the problem may be, you can be assured that Jesus has somewhat to say unto you. Oh, that we would learn to trust the Lord. There's a second thing I want you to think about. Not only does he have somewhat to say when everyone else is silent, but there's a second thing I want you to see. The Lord has somewhat to say to those separated from him by great distances. You see, folks, there was a great gulf between the Lord Jesus and Simon the Pharisee. All one was religious, but that's about all he was. He was just religious. He was one of those self-righteous, hypocritical religionists that thought God was sure lucky to have him around. But he didn't know the Lord. The only reason Jesus was invited to his home was so he and his compatriots could listen and hopefully catch Jesus in some violation of Pharisaical law, so he could and they could entrap him and thus silence his ministry and his influence. And I want you to notice that Simon even sat Jesus at the chief place at the head of the table. He put him at the head of the table. You say, "Well, surely that means something." No, my friend, no. No, it doesn't. It really doesn't mean anything. You know, sometimes one may sit beside someone else and yet be thousands of miles away from them. I was watching the debate, one of the debates this week between Michael Steele and the socialist. What's his name? Cardin. I was watching the debate, and there they are sitting beside one another. But let me tell you, there was miles of distance between those two men. You can sit right beside somebody, you can be right there, and yet be thousands of miles away from them. Proximity does not in any way ensure true nearness. And there could not be a greater gulf than that which was between them. Christ was filled with love and gentleness. Another was filled with disdain to where he didn't even properly welcome his guests. But he treated him with rudeness and coldness that would have made anyone else get up and walk out in disgust. And yet across this great gulf came the words to Simon. As the Savior reached out and said, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." Folks, that's the wonder of the word of our blessed Lord. You see, it's universal. It bridges every gulf. There is no language barrier. There is no cultural barrier. It is not a black, white thing. It is not an educated, uneducated thing. The Lord reaches across every gulf and has somewhat to say to all men. And when you think about it, I tell you, it's really an amazing thing at all that God would have anything to say to any of us. But yet He reaches across the gulf. I mean, we've turned our backs on the Bible. We've turned our backs on God. We've turned our backs on the church. We've turned our backs on the conviction of the Holy Spirit. And we have listened to the serpent's hiss for so long now. How could the lonely man of Galilee even have enough patience to still even try to speak to a one of us today? Well, that's the amazing thing, folks. He still does. In spite of all the great gulf that is between us, He still has somewhat to say to us. Oh, dear friend, thank God for that. Would you realize the Lord has something to say to you this morning? And as I was thinking, if the Lord could come this morning and He had somewhat to say to each of us, and He would, what would He say? And so I started just thinking about verses in the Bible. I think one thing He would say to us is this: except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish. I think I can hear Him looking at us, and with all the compassion that could come from a man's heart, He would look at us and say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I think He would have whatever the answer is, He would have it this morning. Whatever you needed Him to be, He would have it this morning. I like that verse of Scripture where the Pharisees came and they said, who are you? He said, what do you mean? They said, where'd you come from? He said, well, what do you mean by that? They said, where did you go to school? You didn't go to our schools. We know you didn't go to our schools. And they said, where did you get your letters? Where'd you learn your alphabet? He said, are you kidding? I am the alphabet. I'm the Alpha and the Omega. The Alpha is the first letter in the Greek alphabet, and the Omega is the last letter in the Greek alphabet. Jesus said, I'm the first, and I'm the last, and I'm everything in between. Do you know what that means for me, dear friend? That means that whatever I need the Lord Jesus to be, whatever need is in my heart, I can just take that alphabet, and I can just say, okay, Lord, I'm going to take this letter and this letter, and I'm going to make me a word. This is what I want you to be. Do you need God to be comfort for your heart? He can be. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Just take you a C and an O and an M and an F. Just go get you an alphabet and sit down and take the letters and form the letters, and Jesus will be what you want Him to be and what you need Him to be. Thank God. The Lord can reach across. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But I tell you, He does. And whatever you need Him to be, that's what He'll be for you. You say, but Pastor, you don't know the burden of my heart. No, but He does. And remember, He was here. He knows what it's like to carry a burden. Just take it to Him, dear friend. Just take it to Him. And you'll find He'll reach across every gulf. You'll discover, as I did 36 years ago, that there is one that understands all of our problems. He understands everything we have to face. And like the guest, just like the guest at Simon's house, he knew because it's the same one. The same one. Then number three. I said, first of all, the Lord has somewhat to say to those when everyone else is silent. I said, secondly, the Lord has somewhat to say to those separated from Him by great distances. But thirdly, I want you to notice from the text that He has somewhat to say to you personally. Personally. You say, personally, how do you get that? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look, please, at verse 40. Look at my text. And Jesus answering said unto him, what's the next word? Simon. He called him by name, dear friend. Simon, I have somewhat to say unto, what's the next word? Thee. The Lord has somewhat to say to you personally. Folks, there were a whole room full of people there that day. But the Lord Jesus reached across the gulf. He came across the divide that was between them and said, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. Notice the personal touch of our Lord's statement. What Jesus had to say was a word for him, and a word for him alone. It was intensely personal and designed to go straight to him as an individual. It was intended as a word to go right straight into his solitary and selfish heart. It was spoken to probe his conscience and to convict him of his sin. Now, what does that tell me? Well, it tells me, dear friend, that he wants to speak to each one of us in such a way as if there were no one else in the room this morning. Isn't that a great thought? Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. My friend, I want you to know that the Lord looks down this morning upon our congregation, and the Lord just wants to buddy up beside of you, just kind of nuzzle up to your side, lean over and whisper in your ear and say to you, hey, I have somewhat to say unto thee. He wants to talk to your heart this morning. Man, that's an amazing thought to me. Lord, you want to spend time with me? You want a fellowship with me? Listen, dear friend, I don't know what you need this morning. I don't know what you came to church looking for this morning. I don't know if you came here this morning by divine appointment because you need to get saved or because you need because you are carrying a great burden that is weighing you down. I don't know if you came in here this morning because you have a broken heart. I don't know if you came in here this morning because you got the bad news from the doctor this week and you found out that something serious is going on. I don't know, but I do know this. I know that for whatever reason you came, the Lord has somewhat to say to you this morning. God wants to deal with your heart this morning. I don't care who you are. I don't care how many years you've been a believer. I don't care if you trip over your Sunday school pen every time you try to walk. I know the Savior, and I know that He wants a relationship with you. And I know that He has somewhat to say unto you this morning. Folks, listen. Whatever it is you need, whatever He says to you this morning, I want you to understand the reason He's saying it is because He's wanting the two of you close in a relationship. He's wanting you close to Him. Verse 42, what the Lord had to say. Verse 41, all the way down to verse 50. The Lord did everything He could to show Simon that he needed the same faith that this old harlot had. That's what the rest of the story is about. He's doing his best to explain to Simon, Simon, here, you need the same faith that this woman had. But you know the sad part of the story? The sad part of the story is Simon would have nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it. You know, it's an amazing thing. We come in here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. We come in here, places full at 8:30, places full at 10:45, places full on Sunday night. We come in here and just about every Sunday, people will come in. They don't realize it, but they come in by divine appointment. We did absolutely nothing to get them here, but they come. Maybe somebody invited them. Hey, won't you go to church with me Sunday? Where are you going? Church, the open door. Oh, those people are crazy. Well, they're not as bad as you think they are. Come, go with me. So they come with you. They come by divine appointment, whether they realize it or not. You see, the hand of God was working, trying to get them to come. And so now here they are. They show up. You know, it's an amazing thing. There are some people that come in, and boy, the Lord speaks. And they hear, and boy, down that aisle they'll come, and they'll get on their knees and ask the Lord to save them. Their lives will change. They're new creatures in Christ. Then there are others that come. And you say, well, is the Lord not speaking to their heart? Oh, yeah, He's speaking. The Lord has somewhat to say unto thee. The Lord's always speaking. Folks, did you hear what I said? The Lord is always speaking. So I don't understand how some folks can come in here. Man, I would have been running down to that altar. I know you got ears to hear. But there are some folks, Lord speaks, but they don't hear what He's saying. And that's why they can just sit there like a knot on a log, enduring the service instead of enjoying the service. Instead of getting something out of it, they sit there and glare at me like, oh, when's this over with? You know? Oh, mercy. I don't mind you looking at your watch. Just don't shake it, all right? That makes me nervous when you start shaking it. They got ears to hear. Old Simon didn't have ears to hear. That's a shame. That's just a shame. Man stood there, had every opportunity, but he did not hear what Jesus had to say. There is no record that he had ears to hear. Oh, I know he heard it with his physical ears, but he did not hear it with his heart. There's no record that he responded. My dear friend, I want you to know this morning, the Lord has somewhat to say to you. Are you listening to what God has to say? I don't know everybody that's here this morning, and I don't know what kind of condition everybody's in spiritually speaking, but I know the Lord has somewhat to say to you this morning. Let me just ask you a personal question for a moment as we conclude. If you were to die right now, don't anybody do that, okay? But if you were to do that, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Do you know for sure that you'd go to heaven if something were to happen to you? I asked a lady that last week, and she looked at me and she said, "Well, you can't know for sure." I said, "Well, yes, you can." She said, "Oh, no, nobody can know for sure." I said, "Ma'am, if I can show you from the Bible how you can know for sure, would you believe me?" She said, "Well, if you can show me in the Bible, that's all I needed. Just turn over to 1 John chapter 5, and you just read down around verse 12 and 13, and it says, 'These things write we unto you.'" And I held the Bible up, and I went to each word as I read it, and I said, "Now, ma'am, look at this. What's it say? 'These things write we unto you, that ye may hope.'" She said, no, it doesn't say hope. I said, "These things write we unto you that ye may speculate." She said, "No, it doesn't say speculate." I said, "These things." She said, "Okay, I get it. The Bible says, 'These things write we unto you that ye may know that ye have eternal life.'" My friend, you can know that you're saved and on your way to heaven. You're looking at a guy that knows that he's saved and on his way to heaven. If all of a sudden I should grab my chest up here and fall over, listen, don't weep for me. I'm in heaven with the Lord. I know that I'm saved. You say, "Well, what are you basing it on? The authority of the Word of God?" Amen. Do you know that? If you don't know that for sure, dear friend, listen to me. The Lord has somewhat to say unto thee this morning. The Lord has somewhat to say unto thee. Oh, I hope you're here today and know Christ is your Savior. But if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you can know Him this morning. We're going to give an invitation in just a few minutes, and you can leave your seat and walk down here, and someone will take the Word of God, the authority of God, and will turn in the Bible and show you how you can receive Christ as your Savior this morning. Christian, are you carrying a burden today? The Lord has somewhat to say unto thee. Are you having difficulty with life? The Lord has somewhat to say unto thee. You got a whole book up here called the Bible that is nothing more than the will of God for your life. Boy, if you open it up, the Lord has somewhat to say unto thee. He said, the psalmist said that this word, this book, is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. A lot of folks having trouble with life. Well, the Lord has somewhat to say unto thee. You having struggles? You having problems? The Lord has somewhat to say unto thee. Folks, that's the amazing thing about the Lord. He's always got something to say. And we just need ears to hear what He's got to say. I hope you got your ears open this morning. I hope that every person in here is listening as the Lord has somewhat to say unto thee. Bow your heads with me, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Father in heaven, oh, would you speak to our hearts, Lord? Father, help us this morning to realize and to understand and to know that You're speaking. You have somewhat to say to each and every one of us today. Lord, I pray that we'll hear what the Lord has to say to us today. Father, speak clearly, distinctly, and draw us to Yourself in Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one looking around for just a moment. How many of you here today will say, "Preacher, I know for sure that I'm saved and on my way to heaven. My faith is in Christ. I've called upon the name of the Lord. I've asked the Lord to save me. And if I died right now, I know I'm going to heaven on the authority of God's Word. And I want to raise my hand and testify that I know Christ is my Savior. Would you raise your hand right now and say, "Preacher, I'm saved and I know it. And I know that I'm on my way to heaven. There's no doubt about it." No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Amen. Thank you. You may put your hands down. Now, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, dear friend, listen, God loves you this morning. Oh, my goodness. I wish I had the voice of an angel this morning so that I could explain to you. I wish I had the mind of a genius that I could stand up here and just take the English language and explain to you and make it clear to you how much God loves you. I can tell you this, He loves you so much, He gave His only begotten Son to die on the cross for you to pay your sin debt. You see, that's the problem between God and men. It's the sin thing. But God sent His Son, Jesus, and Jesus, He who knew no sin, took your place and my place in death. And He took the wages, the penalty of sin upon Himself. And He paid those wages. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Jesus had no sin of His own. So why did He die? He died because God took your sin and mine and placed them upon Him. And when He took our sin, sin did to Him what it's going to do to every one of us. It killed Him. But you see, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's all there is to it. I'm not talking about you joining this church. This church can't save you. I'm not talking about you giving a love offering to the building fund. That's not going to save you. The thing that saves you is putting your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord has somewhat to say to thee this morning. My friend, if you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, I'd like to pray for you. How many of you would say, "Pastor, I couldn't raise my hand with everybody else a moment ago. I don't know for sure that I'm saved. But I do know this, I'm concerned about my soul. I want you to pray for me, preacher. Pray that God will speak to my heart and that I'll be saved one of these days before it's too late." Would you lift your hand, dear friend? Let me pray for you. Nobody's looking, just you, me, and God. I won't embarrass you, but I will pray for you. Would you lift your hand right now and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I'm not 100% sure I'm saved, but I know I need to be saved. Remember me as you close the service in prayer today." Would you lift your hand and let me pray for you? Just lift your hand. Anybody? Anybody? Anybody at all? All right, I do not see a hand. Now, with our heads bowed, how many Christians here today will say, "Pastor, I'm saved and I know that. But you know, the Lord's speaking to my heart this morning. I know the Lord has somewhat to say unto me. Preacher, pray that I'll hear what God's saying to me." Would you lift your hand right now and say, "Preacher, pray for me"? Yes, God bless you. Many, many hands. God bless you. I certainly will pray for you. You know, the Lord has the answer, dear friend. Take it to Him. Take it to Him. And listen to what He has to say. Well, our Father, we thank You for our time together this morning. And Lord, I pray that You'll give us ears to hear what the Spirit saith. Lord, I pray for these that have raised their hands this morning. Many, many people. And so, Father, I pray that we will listen and that we will hear what the Lord has to say to us. He has somewhat to say to every person here. But Lord, we have to be listening. And I pray that You will just bless and help us to hear what the Spirit of God, what the Lord has to say to us today. Father, may this altar be filled with Christians drawing close to You, coming and saying, "Lord, give me ears that I might hear." And Father, I pray that we'll be submissive and surrendered to the things of the Lord this morning. Oh, dear Lord, do what only You can do for us today. In Jesus' name, amen.